Here's Mike Johnson, our TSN hockey analyst, joining us here on the Maple Toyota Hotline. How many minutes is 2 minutes? Too many minutes for Marner and I guess for Matthews, because Matthews played a ton of minutes the other night too.
Well, let's just say it's a 60-minute game. That one went to overtime. I think anything nearing 25 is too many for our centerman. It's just too many to do consistently. On a one-off, you can maybe get there, but I think 23 is pushing the outer limits of getting the very best every single time the guy is on the ice. Now, I know that I heard you guys, you know, the 11-7 obviously caters to the good players, and Marner as a winger doesn't have to work quite as much as Matthews down the middle. They're both obviously in good shape and can handle it. But like tonight is what? They're 3rd and 4. They play again tomorrow night as well, or whatever. It's going to be 4 and 6, whatever it is. You know, like, you do need some rest, even though they are incredible at it. I don't think you want to push them over 23 unless you absolutely have to. And maybe they feel like they have to, or maybe they feel like they want to, but it's not something you want to do long term.
No. And I wouldn't expect that it will happen. I think Keith gets caught up in the game. It's on Keith. You know, it doesn't matter that Marner's looking back at him all the time. The coach makes a call on who goes on the ice.
Hey, but I used to look at back at Gretzky, put me on the power play. He never did. Like, you know what I mean? Just when you're looking back, doesn't mean you get the ice time you're searching for. So, yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think it's on Sheldon. And, you know, I think in a game against Colorado, their big boys were playing a ton. There was a lot of special teams, so lots of 5-on-5 and lots of 5-on-4 both ways, which Mitch, of course, plays. But you're right. It's on the coach more than it's on the player to say, yeah, I'm good to do it. Because guys are always good to do everything, even when they're not.
Right. And I think, again, we keep talking about these learning experiences, these amplified moments that you can apply to the playoffs. In recent memory, the Leafs have not had a lot of games that have gone into overtime in the playoffs. And not any that I can recall that go into double OT, triple OT. It's been a long time. But I there's a part of me that thinks, not that that was the conscious decision, but in a way, you realize Marner still got it in the tank if it gets to that point. Like, if it goes to double OT, triple OT, this guy is going to be buzzing still once he hits the 30-minute mark, 35, 40 minutes. Like, he's going to – I don't get the impression like he's losing gas later in these games. Like, I didn't see that the other night. Matthews is different because he's a bigger guy. And to your point, Johnny, playing center, he's got more battles down low. He's got more ice to chew up. But Marner, I don't know, man. I think he can play 24, 25 minutes in his sleep. I really do. It doesn't affect him.
He can. Not in a game, maybe, but would it affect him the third game or the fourth game? If it happens over and over and over. So, no question. Like, he didn't look tired at all. He was spry as ever at the end of last game, but if you asked him to do that night after night after night, would eventually sort of take a toll on him. And the other thing about Mitch that's amazing, and just having been around the team a little more closely this year, is that I don't know how tall Mitch Marner is. He's 6'1", maybe. He's not big. You know what I mean? Like, he's a thin guy, which probably makes it easier to carry that weight around for all those minutes. But the fact that he isn't as involved as he is, being the size and sort of weight that he is, it's amazing that he's able to kind of be durable and not get knocked around, because he when you see him, he looks like he weighs 180 pounds. He doesn't look like a big guy.
Johnny, I just want you to admit that the easiest position to play in hockey is a wing. That's the laziest position you can play. Just admit
hang
it.
On. Hang on. You're choosing the wrong word. I was all on board. I'm like, sadly, I will admit, it's the easiest. And then you went and said laziest.
That's a mic drop.
Okay, you're right.
Isn't the laziest a backup goalie noodle?
You're right. It is a good counter, but here's what I'm saying. It's like, outside, like, I could think of players that were great players, but they maybe lacked in certain situations. What did they play? It's always the wing,
always.
Right?
Yeah.
Brett Hull comes to example. Like, you can hide players on the wing because it's like, that guy's not really good. He's not going to be the first guy back. I'm talking defensively. Like, offensively, they're brilliant. I'm just saying, defensively, if there was flaws, they always played wing because it's like, that guy can be the last back in the zone, just chasing the play, standing there with his D-man. Even O admits, like, all he had to care about was that defenseman that stood there, and he would just stand beside him. So I getting into all of this talk, yes, a winger can play a lot of minutes. It's different in today's game, obviously, with so much speed and all of that. So I was joking tongue-in-cheek, but I
no,
wanted...
You're not, though.
I'm slightly
joking. It's 100% true. Why do centermen get moved to the wing at the end of their career? It's because you don't need to skate quite as well. Now, I will say this. When Owen and I played, the way that we have to play defense, or the way that they have to play defense now on the wing, is entirely different. Way more sagging, way more moving, way more blocking shots, a lot more involved than when Owen and I used to be. Like, you could have just pitched your tent up there by the blue line and say, I got my guy. Like, I'm not worried about anything else. It was very, very easy. So, and there are moments when you're a winger where you can conserve energy in the middle of a shift. Like, you're like, okay, I got this 7 seconds, battle's in the far corner, I'm in defensive zone, I'm standing in the slot. I'm just standing there. I'm not doing anything. So, it all plays into Marner playing as much as he has. But, I saw the note today that it was the third highest time on ice in a game this year behind, I think, MacKinnon and McDavid were 1-2. So, Centerman had the top two numbers. Of course, those guys all being some of the best in the world.
Well, Mike, obviously part of this is 11-7, and I don't know about you guys. I'm kind of tired of 11-7, just like talking about it and it being a thing. And yet, like, it is a thing, and it is something that they're doing, and it, I don't know, it feels kind of destabilizing to me for some of their D, and including Morgan Riley. How do you feel about it, Mike, just in terms of maybe taking someone like Riley, who's used to playing 23 minutes and now some nights is playing 18? Like, do you think it has an effect on guys' rhythm within a game that way?
Oh, for sure. 100%. Like, Jones, you understand, like, with six defense, the top guys don't get out as much as they want. You know what I mean? Like, they never get as much. They want to go every other shift. They want to kill penalties. They want to do everything. And then you add another guy. And in Riley's case, maybe that's shaving 5-on-5 minutes. And there's a real concern and conversation that is warranted and appropriate about, you know, where Morgan Riley's game is and how to get him back to his best self. And, you know, maybe it's turning a corner. He scored a goal. He's been looking like he's got more jump. But I don't know if playing him 16 minutes is the way to do it. It's a real challenge. And not for the top guys, though. Because think about even if you're, let's say, Luke Shen tonight. I don't know if Luke Shen's on the second pair of the seventh defense. I don't know exactly what we're going to call him. But let's say it's him. Like, if you're not playing very often, and then you got to go out there and your specialty is, like, high leverage penalty kills. But you haven't played very much. You're not really in the flow of the game to the same degree as if there were six defensemen on the... Like, it affects those guys as well and how effective they can be. While they may be rested, they won't be probably as engaged in the game because they just haven't played as much. So it's all part of the dynamic. Sheldon acknowledged as soon as it happened, he's like, I don't like 11-7. I prefer 12-6. And now, because they have all these defensemen and not enough forwards, now maybe they have to play 11-7. It's kind of far from ideal for the defensemen. For the forwards, it doesn't really matter. The best players get more ice, which we talked about. They don't mind it at all. But for the defensemen, it's tough. It's tough on all of them.
Yeah, I don't think it's a coincidence either that it started after Ryan O'Reilly got hurt, right? Like, when O'Reilly's here, he's in the lineup, he's playing. I think they like this Achari, Kampf, Aston Reese line. Mm-hmm. I think that line,
it, right?
Yeah, I think that kind of sticks. So I think it's going to be 12-6 come playoff time. I'd be borderline shocked if that wasn't the case.
And then knew that O'Reilly's going to be back before the playoffs start. Kind of confidently back with, you know, a week or two left. So they're going to have a little run there. You're right. You can, and Sheldon has sort of latched onto that fourth line that you're talking about and really appreciates them. They've had some really good games. Of course, that game against the Oilers where Achari was incredible. And then they're just sort of biding their time with the other eight guys, I guess, up front, waiting for O'Reilly to get back. Although I still am, even as I watch the games now, and I'm still curious, like, I still think O'Reilly comes back and he plays in the middle. I think he plays third line center. I don't know if he plays with the Yarncroak and Kerfoot. I don't know who he plays with, but I think he probably ends up playing third line center.
Yeah, that makes sense. It gives you depth. It gives you different matchups, and you can move him around. I mean, there might be some games where you can slide him up on the left wing in the two hole type of thing, but then also put him in the third line and give you some favorable matchups, especially on the road where you're not you don't have last change. So, Johnny, we were talking about it last hour about Samsonov going tonight and Murray tomorrow. Playoffs start today. Who's your guy, and do you think it's a short leash, or do you think that Matt Murray still has a chance to be a guy in the playoffs or viewed as a number one heading into the playoffs?
The only thing short about that is the conversation to me. Like, there is no conversation. It is Samsonov. Game one starts tomorrow. It's just him and And I think there's about the same amount of leash as there ever would be on anybody else. Like, I don't think it's particularly short or shorter because Matt Murray's around. I just don't think Murray's played enough. He just hasn't been healthy enough to get into the rhythm required to sort of show that he's on the same level right now with Samsonov. And Samsonov's record at home is lights out. So, no, I think it's him all the way. And I think for Matt Murray, the remainder of the season is about showing, if you need me, you can trust me. If you need me, I will be there, both like in quality of game and also in health. And if he does that, then that's about all he can do. It has to go pretty bad, I would imagine, for Samsonov to not be available during the playoffs in lieu of Murray. So, not much to it if you ask me. I think it's kind of decided. Interesting enough, guys, you know, Matt Murray's obviously was told with the ankle thing right before playing Ottawa. Freddie Anderson was just told out of this game tonight, was supposed to play against the Leafs, and we got Kochetkov playing instead of him, the young guy. So I don't even know. We're trying to figure out, is it health? Is it performance? Is it? Well, I don't know what to make of it, but I just got to the rink and that was the news that's come down.
What a shot! It's the Spider-Man meme, man. Spider-Man looking at Spider-Man. Freddie and Matt Murray in the hallway down at Scotiabank.
You got to get somebody on that Photoshop right away.
That's what it is. And because, like Johnny, I said earlier, these two, like, I don't know what to expect tomorrow. I think Murray plays, but I don't think it's a lock. He makes it the puck drop against Ottawa. I don't think it's a lock.
It's got to be. I mean, I understand what you're saying, but I think at some point, like, you have to want this game. Like the other way, like, even though I'm not quite right, even though maybe I'm not feeling great, I'm going to play anyways because I want to play against my former team. When I ever got traded to have a chance to go back against my former team, I was all over it. Like, I couldn't get in that game fast enough. So I don't think something's going to happen on his way from the hotel to the rink. I'm going to say he's going to play tomorrow. But
okay.
But, I mean, I've been wrong with him before this year, obviously.
Yeah, I hope so. Listen, I'm pulling for him to play. I think he's got to get it over with. You got to play your former team and then you move on. You have to. But you know, the last two times he was set to play, it was day of, obviously. It went south. Out west, it's, you know, Winnipeg and Calgary now jockeying for position. Only one of them is likely to get in, and Nashville could spoil it for both of them. But if they get there, if one of them gets there, Winnipeg or Calgary, which of those two teams do you think has a better chance at doing damage in the playoffs?
I don't know. I my answer is probably neither. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, I guess I would say, well, they'd be in the wild card. So I guess whichever one ends up, if they end up in the Central, like, is Dallas so great that you can't conceive Calgary finding a way to beat them? Probably not. Like, so if you get into the Central, it seems like maybe that might be doable for one of those teams, but they just haven't had the kind of consistency as of late to think that they'd be able to maybe take on those guys. So I would say neither. And how about, you mentioned those two teams battling. Like, Nashville, by points percentage, had they won last night, might have been ahead of Calgary.
Right.
Like, a brutal loss to Chicago. 2-1 at home. I think, like, Chicago, the games in hand, that was one of them. And they wasted losing to Chicago, as many teams have. But that would sting this late in the year. But yeah, I don't have a ton of faith in either. I don't know, Hayes, how about you? But they both seem like they're good, but neither one really strikes me as great right now.
No, I'm with you. I would lean Calgary because of the nature of how I think they can play a lower scoring style game. Yes, like, yeah. You know, like, yeah. I have more faith in Hellebuck than Markstrom, but not when they're both playing at their height. You know, I would say Hellebuck's probably a bit better, but not much. Markstrom's more than capable of being a great goalie.
I don't know how you guys feel, but I've always felt like the way watching Calgary, and I was in Calgary last weekend, they're built for the playoffs, but they might not make it, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
You know, like, heavier, kind of low scoring, grind you down. They do have some players that, you know, this Peltier looks like he's going to be a player, but, you know, Toffoli's been one of their only consistent guys, same with Backlund. Everybody else has been grossly underachieving in the Kadrys and Huberdeau, and, you know, the goalie has gotten going recently, as you mentioned, Johnny. Like, Markstrom is a guy who I think can play, and Hellebuck can play, but I think Calgary's built for the playoffs, but I don't know if they'll make it.
Yeah, they do feel like when Calgary plays well, their games will have tighter margins, right? Because it's a little more defensive, a little tighter checking, and if you're not as good of a team, if you can play a tighter margin game, you have a better chance of winning. Where if it, you know, the better team gets lots of chances back and forth with Winnipeg, you know, I think the better team probably ends up winning, which probably won't be Winnipeg. So, you know, we'll see. But, yeah, I don't think either one is jumping out saying they're if they get there, they're going to be really dangerous right now.
With Mike Johnson, our TSN hockey analyst. So Sidney Crosby secured his 83rd point. Maybe
ridiculous.
The quietest 83 points in the league for a guy who's been the face of the league for 15 years. Yeah. I mean, I don't get what. And listen, I'm guilty of it. I got a mic every day. I could talk about him every day if I wanted to.
Right.
But that secures 18 seasons now where he is at least a point a game. Only Gretzky has done that with him. I mean, how do you put that into perspective?
It's obscene. It's crazy to think that he's done it every single year he's played. 18. Gretzky did it 19 times. He just passed Gordie Howe, who, you know, seemed to do it forever. And, you know, through different eras where he was healthy, where he was high scoring, where he was injured, where he's been a more of a two-way guy, where he's on the best team, where he's on a team that's a bubble team, does not matter. He just churns them out. And it's the crazy part about him is, like, he's not really had a McDavid-like 130-point season, right? Like, he is just, you know, steady Eddie. He gets kind of between 90 and 105 or that pace and just does it year after year after year. His game has evolved. But, I mean, you still watch him, and he's still excellent. He's so tough to cover. Strength down low, the same strength that kind of he had skating-wise that he came into the league with. It's an underrated, amazing accomplishment that we probably should. Like, I don't know how we don't pay enough attention to him. We probably should, because he deserves it. And it's incredible. And again, I don't want to diminish Pascal Dupuis or Chris Kunitz or Brian Rust, or Jake Guentzel for sure is a star player. But he hasn't had, you know, a Marian Hossa the entire time. He hasn't had a running mate, Malkin on the power play, but rarely 5-on-5. He hasn't had a Hall of Fame caliber running mate his whole career. He's kind of taken whatever was there, and they've been great with that, which makes it even more impressive.
It's incredible. And, like, I think McDavid has overshadowed it ever since he got here. Like, all of our attention went to this new kid, this new shiny toy. And the last 3 or 4 years in particular. But, like, Sid is still doing it, man. He's probably going to end up with 100 points again this year. And I have no reason to believe he won't have 82-plus next year and the year after that. Like, I think he'll hit 20 years.
Yeah, which is, I mean, one more to tie Gretz, right? And then two to pass. You know, and the 40 games, so even if he doesn't stay healthy, if he gets 70 and 65 games, he's still right there. I don't know why you'd bet against it at some point. Father Time wins, but the way he's rolling along, it doesn't look like it's imminent.
No, that is for sure. Leafs Carolina tonight on TSN 4. He will have the call. He is Mike Johnson, our TSN hockey analyst. Enjoy it, buddy. We'll do it again soon.
All right, boys. Happy St. Patty's Day. Behave yourself tonight.
Yes, you too. Yeah. There he is, Mike Johnson, joining us here on the Maple Toyota Hotline. They take away the fears of buying a pre-owned vehicle by sharing service history, lien history, and accident history. Find out more at MapleToyota.com. Yeah, Sid is... you know, we talked about him. We've been talking about him for years on this show. That he's just he's a grit grinding superstar, and that's what it is. When he's cooking, man, he's just dogged. He's constantly in the opposition's other end. He's constantly on top of the puck, on top of the play. He skates with such power, and yet, like Johnny said, his best year I think was the second year in the league. He had 120 points. Which is a great season, and he's hit the century mark multiple times. But if he gets there, it's 100, 104, 103.
Right.
It's not 130, 135, pushing up on 150. Like, McDavid's a different beast statistically, but I don't know, man. Sid, well, the way he can play and the way you can win with him, it's second to none in the last 15 years.
Well, so how do you think we'll rate their careers? Because McDavid's going to have more individual awards for sure. Like, how many hearts do you think Crosby has?
I think he's got three.
He's got two.
He has two, okay.
And he has two Art Rosses. Like, McDavid, I think, already has more than that.
Right.
I know he has more Art Rosses. I don't know. I think he has two hearts.
Yeah, and he's going to hit three.
He's going to win three,
year, for sure.
Right? But so does McDavid need two cups, one cup, three cups? Like, none? Like, his numbers are just going to be so outrageous that I don't know how we'll look at this.
I think it is. It's going to bring into focus that conversation about you need to win, right? It'll be a Dan Marino type conversation. Like,
yeah,
you got to get one, because not only does Sid win, he obviously has, he's also won back-to-back Conn Smythe in 16 and 17. So he's won three cups. He's been to four cup finals. He's won two Conn Smythe. He's obviously won two gold medals where he was the man, right? In 2010 and 14, he was the king of those teams, the captain of the teams. Although he wasn't in 10, I think. Was it Niedermeyer in 10, I believe? But he was the captain in 14. He scores the golden goal. Like, that's where McDavid's been ripped off by international hockey not being available to him. He hasn't been able to match, you know, what Sid was capable of doing. But those are moments that, like, I don't think it should hurt you necessarily if you haven't won and you haven't had access to those big moments because it's a team sport. But I think it should help you if you did. Right? So I think if you're Sid, you can't take away a golden goal. You can't take away two Conn Smythes. It's not his fault that Edmonton hasn't done it. Right? When he showed up in Pitt, they were just as bad as Edmonton was when McDavid got out there.
So,
you know, and it turned around quickly for him. And, he's got Malkin. Who's McDavid got?
Yeah.
Draisaitl.
They just built a better team around him, basically.
Wow. But it took them a while. That's the thing. You know, you win, but then it took them a while to get back to winning. Remember,
Absolutely.
Pitt, there was, and Sid had the injury issues too, where that was something that, well, we were all concerned about his career there for a bit.
Yeah, big time.
You know,
that
You know,
that was a huge part of his career. And to his credit, he's completely overcome that, and it's a thing of the past, right? It really is, and that is a testament to the greatness of Sidney Crosby for sure. Quentin Richardson coming up. His take on where the Raptors are at. They won big last night. What's up with the NBA, though? And the Raptors are a perfect example of this. Very good at home. Good to very good at home. Awful on the road. What does he make of the parity of the NBA? And he played at least one game in the Madness back in his day. We'll get his take on that experience as well as March Madness continues. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on the TSN app.